A very good morning to you, Claire, and welcome to Cape Talk.
Hi, good morning. Great to be with you.
Claire, it's actually been a while since you joined us in there, so just remind us about your story and, survivor-centered campaign.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I'm a rape survivor, and my story is pretty long and brutal. It happened when I was 21 years old, and I was living in Paris as a foreign student. And one night, walking to get a taxi, I was intercepted by a man who attempted to murder me and very violently raped me. And it's pretty difficult in France being a rape survivor, very difficult aftermath navigating the system. And unfortunately, they never caught him at the time. And then everything changed 10 years later, quite literally 3 weeks before the statutory period of limitations, which is that time when someone can be tried for a crime, depending on the crime.
Yeah.
I got a call from the French police, and I was actually living in Switzerland. So I was fortunate because I was close enough to France. And they said to me, can you get to Paris within 48 hours to do a lineup? So we think we've caught the man. There's a DNA match. And so I could get to Paris in time. And there he was. I looked behind this one-way glass and I ID'd him straight away. And of course, that's when my life really began to sort of fall apart, because you have to relive this trauma 10 years later. And then I didn't have much of a choice. In France, rape is not a crime against the state. So that means that if the victim doesn't prosecute, they let the perpetrator walk free. And so if I wanted him, if I wanted justice, if I wanted him to go to jail, it was up to me to go ahead with that justice process. And I chose to do that. And it was very long. It was a 6-year struggle, costly struggle through the French justice system. But that really sort of ultimately, brought me to what I'm doing now, because I had to really heal. One, very importantly, I hit rock bottom. I hit some of the darkest days of my life, and then kind of slowly gained back my strength, and then also realized that, I was so surprised by how bad the system was in France, being, coming from South Africa. Also, I spent some time in Australia. And so I decided to speak out, and what happened next was extraordinary. And, I had survivors from all over the world reach out to me, women, men and children. Yeah.
What actually led you to forming Footsteps to Inspire? And, how is this project sort of aims to honor survivors of sexual violence and inspire? The big thing here, Claire, is to inspire conversations and collectively create those safe spaces, isn't it? Because the trauma of the actual rape, and then consequently the trauma of the trial. And as you said, it was a 6-year trauma for yourself to actually go through this. And it's a harrowing experience to finally get your justice. But then after you've got your justice and after all of that, we need to create, those conversations and collectively create those safe spaces, isn't it?
That's right. And, this is what I realized as all these survivors were writing to me. I realized there were so many different shades of sexual violence, and everyone was being impacted in some way. But there was a real undercurrent that was unifying us together. And that was afterwards, how hard it was to navigate the system, access to support, that real fear to speak out, and just, the fear of the shame and the judgment. Victim blaming is so part of what society still does. And that's when I realized I need to do something, and running had been very important to me for my healing. And I knew sexual violence is an uncomfortable conversation for most people. So how do you make it comfortable? And that's why I used the sport element. And so I'm running 16 kilometers of beach in every single country of the world with this vision of opening dialogues and creating these safe spaces for people to come together, to have a voice. And even if they themselves aren't survivors, and they want to be part of, actively be part of the change, they can come together, and we have this opportunity to talk, to no judgment, no shame. And then as I move around the world too, I'm looking and identifying, good practices in different countries and sharing that knowledge in other countries and really kind of trying to find solutions that we as citizens of the world can be part of as well, not just relying on governments to make the change, but we ourselves can make that change. And then, of course, really creating that turning this uncomfortable conversation to something really comfortable, and so that we can change. And as you said before I came on, you know, no longer blame the victim, but look at it from the, like, let's start looking at the perpetrators and start supporting the victims.
Mm. How far did you come in your endeavors? And, you know, if you've reached 55 countries so far, we're chatting this morning to Claire McFarlane, who is a South African-born Australian and founder of Footsteps to Inspire. 55 countries is quite a bit of a feat. And what lessons did you pick up on your journey, Claire?
Yeah, so I'm only 25% of the way through. So I always like go, oh my word, I've still got like, but you know, it's been remarkable. I've been to most regions of the world now. I started in South Africa because, being from South Africa and where I know that sexual violence and rape is such a big issue here. And it is just, you know, actually one thing I really noticed in South Africa is it's an amazing place to have a platform as a survivor, you know, being able to speak with you on the radio so openly, that's incredible. And so I guess I've seen some really, terrible things. I mean, I've heard horror, like, nothing would surprise me now. And of course, it's really heartbreaking when you actually spend time with children, for example, and listen to what they're going through. And then knowing they're in a country where there's no support or access to services, you know, and it's, that can be heartbreaking. And I've almost had, those have been moments when I've actually wanted to quit because I didn't know if I had it in me to keep hearing those stories. But on the other side, I'm bringing so much hope and, you know, really shining a light on this issue and, creating change. I've been able to create some direct impact in countries, you know, where government has actually agreed to making changes while I was there. That was phenomenal. And then of course, seeing some really good practices and being surprised, you know, Malaysia really surprised me. Malaysia is a Muslim country, predominantly Muslim. So I was expecting the worst and I was really surprised to see that they actually have what is called a one-stop crisis center. So that's like our Tutuzela care centers here in South Africa, but there's only a few of them. They have those in every single hospital in the country. So there's a safe space for someone to go to in a hospital. It's not perfect, but still to have something like that is extraordinary. And it, you know, it's not a wealthy country, still developing. So I think that's a really amazing example to look at for other countries around the world. And then of course, South Africa, coming back to South Africa, we, you know, something very unique. And I know that, South Africans tend to look at the system in South Africa and see it as being one of the worst, but we actually are quite ahead of the game when it comes to sexual violence. One, it's really talked about, you know, it's openly being talked about. You know, there's a lot of activism, a lot of push for change. And then we're doing some really good things. The laws are changing, they're getting better. And then the sexual violence courts that are starting to roll out, that's phenomenal. And mm-hmm. that's going to be a game changer, I think, for the world.
Yeah. And, you know, we've got starting 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, which will kick off later this week from 25 November till 10 December 2021. And it's a global week focused on raising awareness to end violence against women and girls. But the problem is that it's not that it's an awareness issue here. It should be an issue of action. And, you know, sharing on social media for 16 days and governments coming up with plans and, you know, piping all kinds of hot air just doesn't lead to us eventually. And I take the case of Anine Boyson, I think it was actually within this period of 16 days of activism. One of the most harrowing acts happened during a time when we were trying to create awareness. And I'm sorry, I'm getting mad here, but, you know, I'm the father of four daughters, so I fully understand this. In terms of this awareness and the fact that we should start moving away from blaming the girl child, but start actually talking to our boy children also, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. You're so right. We actually have to move away from awareness and start looking at ways of action, prevention, stepping forward. I do a lot. In addition to the running, I actually work with schools and run education programs with teenagers around healthy relationships, consent and sexual violence and what to do, how to navigate that, how to be part of the change. And it's amazing when you can start to open up that dialogue with young people and give them the tools and the skills, because if they sort of become adults, we start changing the landscape when it comes to this issue. And I do think that we really need to start focusing on that in terms of definitely more education. I know that consent is really minimal within our schools in South Africa. And it's such an important conversation to be having, not just with girls. We really, as you said, need to be talking with boys as well. And look, sexual violence, and I've seen this now on the project, it does affect men almost as much as women, normally when they're children though. So women are vulnerable to sexual violence for most of their lifetime, whereas men, it's mostly before the age of 18. And so there's a lot of also young men without a voice, you know, navigating and then, you know, ultimately not themselves, yeah, then replicating what's happened to them and hurting other people. So we definitely need to be looking at, I think, really empowering our youth to be really part of the change, because that's how we, I think that's how we get to make change very quickly as well.
Yeah. You're back in South Africa, and I believe that this will be your base while you attempt to run in 20 African countries in 2022. Where can listeners follow that journey, and how can they pledge support for your next fundraising effort?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So I definitely, Africa is on the cards for next year. So Footsteps to Inspire is the name of the project. Like Footsteps, and then T-O, Inspire, .org on the website, and then also using the handle Footsteps to Inspire on Facebook or Instagram. I post a lot on Instagram, not just sharing information from the journey, but also strategies and tips and resources about how to get help wherever you are, but also how to be part of the change, what we can do from today, because really all of us can do things from today to help make change straight away. And then of course, if anyone would like to donate, you can donate via the website. This is, you know, funding in the space of sexual violence is a very difficult place to be supported. So if anyone would like to get behind the project and donate, that would mean a lot. And we get to reach more survivors, and then I get to make some more change here in South Africa, which I really, really want to do.
Claire McFarlane is a South African-born Australian and founder of Footsteps to Inspire, and she's currently on a mission to run 3,000 kilometers.